It's 5 o'clock and you're off the clock with B. Scott. Today we're excited to have as our guest Jeremy Risley, the Black Bass Arkansas Game of Fish coordinator. And I got my dad to my right, Tim Scott. And we're going to go over the basics right here. What to throw, when to throw it, colors, times of year. So getting right into it, you have the pre-spawn, the spawn, the post-spawn. And for people that don't know, will you kind of explain just how it works, times of year, water temperature, stuff like that?
Yeah, so we'll just start off pre-spawn. So that's that period of time, water's starting to warm up, just like us. We're starting to get a little active. So in that period of time, I typically like to focus in that 5 to 10 foot range. Those fish are moving from their winter time deep areas, and they're moving up shallow. The sun's out and the water's warming, so they're wanting to move shallow. So I tend to focus in that 5 to 10. That's an excellent time to catch fish on a jerkbait or a crankbait. We in the northern part of the state, a crankbait really shines during that time. Obviously, a jig as well. So you just want to mimic either crayfish or shad. That's going to be they're wanting to eat some high protein items to help them get ready for the spawn, because when they go through the spawning process, they don't really eat. So they're trying to build up their fuel for the spawning process. So I really focus on crankbaits or jerkbait. If it's really, really windy, a spinnerbait.
And what kind of temperature, water temperature are you talking about in the pre-spawn?
So that's about 50 to 60-ish.
I got you.
Yeah.
And the movement.
You just kind of want that steady warm up where you start to get those nights. I really look at the temperature at night.
Oh.
Or if you can, the really best scenario is when you get a warm, windy night. So you're getting that mixing of that water. You're getting that warm upper layers getting pushed down. That really helps them to cue in that, hey, there's something that's going on. Maybe I should start to move up.
I got you. And that leads them straight into the spawn.
Yep. Which we're getting into the south part of the state's probably in right now, getting kind of done. It's going to progressively move up the state. And honestly, it's the hardest time of the year to fish for me. But still, they'll start spawning. What we typically see from my experience is the really big fish spawn usually earliest. So you can see them start to kind of spawn in the 58 to 60, but the big wave tends to be 63 to 65-ish, but they'll go into 70 degree. So depends on really how fast it warms up.
You see them in the beds, right?
Yeah, yeah. You may see them on the beds when it's 75, but it may have been 60 last week and just warming up really fast. So you see them and they'll do that. And a cool tip that I actually just learned a couple of years ago is the male, he stays on the bed the whole time, but that female may be on that bed today and she may go to another bed tomorrow and
really?
Then the next day to another bed. So she may not put all her eggs in one basket, so to speak.
I didn't know that either. I always thought that a female be on the bed the whole time she's there, and that's what you're going after.
I just wanted to pass that tip because I thought it was awesome.
There's actually a fish that I've been trying to catch that I almost caught one day. I went back the next day, she wasn't there.
Yep.
That makes sense.
She may have been spent, or she may have laid all her eggs, but she may have moved on. And you can think of that as a trait. You don't want to put all your eggs in this one basket and then something happens to that nest. So,
which makes sense.
Wow.
But in that period of time, you really want to work something slow on the bottom. You're not really working things fast. So I really like a Senko, Carolina rig, another one that kind of goes against what I just said, but a Fluke. I really like a Fluke. Soft plastic jerkbait type lures. But when they really start to move on to the beds, I'm usually going like a Senko, either wacky rig and a Texas.
What kind of color are you looking at usually?
So Senko's, you can't beat green pumpkin, green watermelon red, or black and blue. I mean, that covers all the water clarity. The clearer the water, the more watermelon you want to go. If the dirtier the water, the more black and blue you want to go. And green pumpkin fits about everywhere.
So you see the fish on the bed and you're trying to catch that fish, but you keep running the bait by it slowly and it's just not reacting. So are you just attempting to just get the bait in the bed and kind of get the fish to go and pick it up and move it out of the bed per se, or are they trying to actively eat?
No, they're trying to get what they feel is a threat out off the bed. So they're basically trying to protect the bed. And so that's all you're doing. You're just trying to get them aggravated enough that they like, I'm finally tired of this and we'll move it off.
I got you.
That's how I see it. You know, they may see it some other way, but to me, that's how I perceive bed fishing is you're just trying to get them aggravated enough that they've said enough's enough, you're gone. Yeah.
So after that phase where they're in the beds and they move into post, you know, the post spawn.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing then?
So that's time to celebrate because thankfully the spawn's over and you can get back to catching fish. And for me personally, that's the time of the year I love the best because they haven't ate for a while. So they're really aggressive. You start to see a shad spawn going on. So we're talking post spawn 70, let's call it 70 to 80-ish in there. It kind of just depends again on how fast you're moving through, but top water is awesome that time of the year. You know, I'm throwing a spook or a walking the dog type. Another thing that we use in really clear water is wake baits. I'm either throwing a walk the dog type lure or a wake bait.
I got you.
Also, you could throw a glide bait. I mean, that's one of those worlds that I'm starting to dabble in a little bit. And that's kind of a pre-spawn, post-spawn, but a gigantic, you know, 7-10 inch lure that can work really well. Again, you're really wanting to focus on shad that time of the year. The shad are spawning. They're going through their rituals as well. The bass really take advantage of that. So I really focus on shad colors that time of the year. So white and chartreuse. If it's really dirty, you're going to have to go to something like black and chartreuse. But not for top water. It's going to be white. I stick to one white. But if you can also, again, throw a jig, they start to really bite a jig. They're starting to get on square bills. They're going to start to be on a little bigger crankbait. When you're crankbaiting, again, that's going to be shad colors, white or black and chartreuse, kind of depends on where you're at. We'll do that. They'll be post-spawn through June-ish, depending again where you are in the state. And then when it starts to get hot and we get miserable, they kind of start getting miserable. So they either take two strategies that in my experience, depends on the water body. If it's dingy, shallow, a lot of times they're going to go shallow. So
really?
Yeah. So example is Lake Chico. I really love it in the summertime, this post-spawn period time. And we're catching them in 5 foot of water. In shade, off sides of docks, under cypress trees, in the knees and stuff.
Just primarily in the shades.
Yeah,
chilling out.
Yeah, yeah. Because they're like I said, they're kind of miserable like us. The water's starting to warm up, and so they're kind of trying to find a cool spot.
I got you.
That time of the year, the vegetation's really coming up. If you got a lake with water willow, you know you can really focus on that. That's when you swim a jig. White chartreuse, and that's just basically you're kind of bouncing it over the surface, and it's a fun bite. Like they,
they blow up,
and then the frog bite starting. You got the vegetation starting to mat up, so you'll have that top water bite, and then so that's kind of the post spawn for us again. In the north part is really top water, and something that I do that is kind of different is I don't necessarily go down the bank with my top water. There's times that I'm catching fish. I'm not even casting to the bank. I'm catching the suspended fish that are off long points and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So, and that's a tip if you're fishing one of our highland reservoirs is you don't necessarily have to go down the bank. You might fish a runoff, a long point, and you may be 50 yards off the bank, but you're still in 25 foot of water, 20 foot, and you're just casting over, and the shad are coming over those.
Let me ask you a century-old question here. You always hear it from everybody. This is like the go-to thing they say. Big bait catches big fish. In your experience, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Big bait catch
big fish. Big bait, big fish?
But big bait catch small fish too.
Yeah, it do.
Yeah.
That's what I catch.
Yeah. Anytime you see that one guy's just got a foot long, thick worm he's fishing with, and you're like, wow. You know, whoa. He's a big bait catches big fish.
Yeah. A glide bait. I mean, I'm throwing glide baits now. You know, and it's they're pretty neat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you see the guys are throwing the 11, 13 inchers, mm-hmm. and they're
it makes a big splash when you throw it.
Yeah, and they're 5 inches tall. Mm-hmm.
Could throw it a mile.
I just can't get it deep enough for the dang live scope. I'm like, God, get away.
So going, you bring up the live scope.
Oh, we always talk about live scope. But yeah, the glad bait is good.
If you're fishing like shallow water, say it's bed, you know, the fish are now in their beds to spawn. Do you switch over from do you switch over to perspective view for that, or do you just keep looking?
I have perspective view and forward view on my trolling motor.
But what do you use the most? What do you use the most though?
In the shallow,
if you're fishing for beds,
in the shallow stuff, I'll use my perspective view because I mean I can see what I'm looking for. Then it's all lined up on my deals. I got two graphs, one for this, one for that one, and so I kind of use both. And you know, I see a treetop or a brush pile, whatever, I'll find it. And I'll use my other to get right in there. Then I just watch for movement, you know, and brush and trees. And I'll just stare at it I'll stare at it till something moves. Then I'll say, oh, she's in
there. Your neck sore? Does your neck ever get sore, Alaska?
Yes, man. My neck gets sore. I get sunburned.
But you did mention a really good feature to look for when they're spawning. Mm-hmm. I know it already to the post spawn, but back to the spawning is wood cover. They're going to be spawning around something hard or woody. So like he said, if you can pan out and look for those stumps, you know, we used to have to blind cast before live scope. We just blind cast and hope you were getting near.
And so now what I'll do, I'll just go up there and I'll put my poles down. And I'll just watch until I see something move.
Because you target it.
Then I know she's in there. Mm-hmm. And I'll keep throwing until I catch her.
How's it been working out? Have you been catching them?
My success rate is very low.
Okay. Well, mine too.
but we're
nothing special here, I promise.
But it does work. It does work. You just got to put the time in. Sometimes you got to cast 30, 40 times, you know?
In the right hands, it's effective.
A professional probably could do a lot better than me.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I don't know why. Yeah. I mean, they just do.
It's a learning curve.
And we're also seeing those that historically did fish offshore and figured out something. Now they're even better.
They are good.
Yeah. So, good. So they're now even farther above all of us.
Yeah, they're catching like 30-pound bags.
That's interesting what you just said. So the people that learned it the hard way, now that have the technology, are better. Let me ask you this. If you've learned it only on technology and you never learned it the hard way, if something were to happen, you didn't have the technology, go down in your tournament or something, how would you be sitting then? Well, does it go both ways, or is it just one's definitely better than the other?
I think it depends on the anglers. I mean, we got to be honest. So some anglers can catch a fish out of a mud puddle, whether they got live scope or not.
That's right.
I fish against some up our way that they're one of them fishing elites, and he can just flat out.
What's he doing different?
What makes a good fisherman a good fishman?
Yeah, what is that?
What is it?
Yeah. It's something mental. It's something.
It's mental?
I think it's a lot mental. It's a lot of decision making and not doubting that. Now that I see that I don't get to fish as much, I really start to doubt some of my decisions. And when I was really getting to fish a lot of tournaments and was on the water all the time, I never second guessed the decision. I may drop what I was doing and go do something different because my gut told me that was what I need to do. And a lot of times I would be successful. Now I'm already second guessing the second guess of the second guess that I've been out there all day.
Because that's what fishing is.
Yeah.
It's a mind trial of endless possibilities.
You know, when I was younger, my 20s and 30s, I didn't take it serious. But now, since I'm in my 40s, going on the 50, you know, I'm 45, 46, something like that. Now I'm taking the shit serious. I'm like, okay.
You're figuring it out.
Like, where is the fish? You know, it's like, it's more, you take shit more serious.
Well, you got to think about it. The whole day, if you're taking it serious, the whole trip is all decision from the very minute you put your boat in. Are you going left, right? Are you going up the lake, down? It's just all decision. And if you're on the water constantly, those decisions become second nature and you're not out there second guessing or thinking. You're not wasting time. Time is money in tournaments.
But is it also luck though? Like, all right, I found some good fish. Cause you know, you
to some degree.
I mean, it has to be okay. He found, I mean, he's a good fisherman, but he found the perfect spot in a lake that was producing some bites.
Yeah.
There's some luck, but I tend to say that the good ones rise to the top.
Yeah.
Getting to fish and know some of them, just seeing how they fish versus how I fish. Yeah. There's a lot of mental.
And there's also no denying that the average bass angler that's successful is younger today than it was 10, 15 years ago because of live scope.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
True.
The anglers are getting younger.
Yeah.
Successful anglers.
But that's the game, though.
Yeah.
That's the game.
It's technology. It's just technology.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't know any different. Like, we have all this historical perspective that we, well, this time of the year, we need to be fishing this. Well, they don't know that. So they're doing stuff that we wouldn't even be thinking.
Yeah.
That you know, we're so ingrained that you do this during this time of the year. Well, they're not, and they're being just as successful.
Do you think that people are less successful when they just switch a whole bunch of different stuff? Or do you think the people that that'll say, okay, I'm going to throw this today, and I'm going to really find the fish and fish really hard with this, you know, who do you think is more successful? The guy that's just constantly changing because he's doubtful of what he's throwing, or the guy that sticks to his guns?
Honestly, it's almost 50-50, because those that switch a lot can be really well, do really well. Because, for example, there's be days I'll go out and I'm like, they're going to eat this today. Like,
yeah,
here's all the conditions are setting up for this, and they may not. And this guy over here that just randomly picked up something that he had tied on, and they're practically jumping in the boat for him. And I'm over here barely catching fish,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then there are those days that, like, you got this conditions, you got this, you got a front coming in, the wind's blowing, it's cloudy, they're going to eat a spinnerbait, and you just got to throw it long enough to find that group of fish.
That's right.
Because there is a lot of dead water.
Yeah.
There is dead water. And that's what LiveScope has taught people.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself getting sometimes too focused in and ignoring things that were obvious that I just didn't sense at that time that I should be using.
Fishing is so hard.
Like, as far as the tournament goes, do you feel like it's harder to manage your time having the technology now in tournaments than it used to be before?
Yeah.
Before having the technology?
Yeah. Yeah. I like the tournaments where I don't have to rely on LiveScope.
You're just fishing, man.
I'm more confident. But
really? You're more confident?
Yeah. I'm one of those. I'm more confident when it's really tough. I hate those where everybody's catching 20-pound sacks, because, you know, I would much rather be tough.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a chance. Especially if...
Because you're not a volume fisherman, you're more of a quality fisherman?
No.
I mean, you catch the big fish?
A lot of times it just depends on where I'm at. So if it's a water body that Ouachita or DeGray that I don't have this long history, I would much rather be tough.
Yeah.
So that I have a chance and I'm not getting beat by all these guys that know the lake up and down, know these conditions when they're jumping in the boat.
I got you.
Because if you find the spot that just the magical spot where the bites are there and you're the only one, I mean, you're pretty set up.
But come back to your question. Luck does have play. I've had some tournaments where we just luckily stumbled across some fish and got a check. For example, we were fishing on Horseshoe Lake outside of West Memphis, and we were fishing this tournament. And I never fished Horseshoe ever in my life. Got over there. The practice was horrible. I had one bite. So we were actually thinking about a way to get, we'd already paid our entry fee. We were trying to figure out a way to get our money back. Like, can we come up with an excuse to get out of this? We couldn't come up with an excuse. So we did not sleep that night. Just like, man, this is going to be horrible. We ended up winning. We had like 18 pounds.
Wow. You know,
that one bite, we went right to that. It was a dock, went right to that dock, caught a 3 or 4 pounder on like the first dock, and then ended up catching all the same area that I fished the day before. And ended up
really, it's just a different day.
Yeah. So, but that was luck.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on some just right timing luck.
Hey, that's right. Sometimes it just takes luck.
Yeah.
And just a chance.
Well, I need some of that luck.
I know.
Yeah.
Where do we get that?
We're due some luck, I think.
Yeah. What bait shop sells luck?
Yeah. You'd be rich if you could figure that out.
Oh, yeah. If we could manufacture some luck, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. No doubt.
Absolutely. Well, man, this is awesome. You definitely gave us the whole spiel on, pre-spawn, spawn, post-spawn, times of frame, you know, summertime when nobody wants to be fishing. You told us, you know, shadows and they're trying to cool off. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, summer, and we'll kind of wrap things up. Summertime, if you got any flow, Arkansas River, Ouachita River, anything like that, you can get in the eddies, jetties, that kind of thing. I really love Arkansas River fishing in the jetties in the summer when it's really hot. I mean, you're not catching giants, but you're catching fish all day long. And then, sadly, we get into September and October, and that's the worst time to, besides spawn, be fishing in Arkansas, in my opinion. It's just tough. That's in general in the Southeast, in the United States. You just don't hear of a lot of success in September, October.
Why is that?
Just a grind. You got the fish are stressed through all summer. And, you know, that water temp's still really warm. So they're really, their metabolism's really, really high. And it's just kind of a stressful situation for them. By that time, in the dissolved oxygen, the water quality in the lakes isn't great. So it's just kind of a stressful time for them.
So it's like that. It's yeah. It's like a buck coming out of a rut, and he's all wore down. He's tired.
Well, just think about us. By October, September, we're over the heat. We're done with it. We're miserable. We're just ready for fall to get here. And that's kind of them. But they can't go into AC or get out of the weather.
They're there all the time. That's crazy.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, I never heard of that. That was the worst time to fish.
So next time I go fishing, I'm going to say, what would I do?
Yeah. If I was swimming around this lake, where would I be?
That water stinks. I ain't going to be in this water.
Yeah. I can't see very good in that water.
That's pretty much what he's telling us.
Basically, and hey, it makes a lot of sense, and it's a way I've never looked at it.
Yeah.
So, man, it's a lot of good stuff. Everybody, thanks for watching. Thank you for being here today. It was a pleasure.
Yeah,
for
we
sure.
enjoy having you here. It's pretty neat.
Thanks for having me. Anytime I can talk about fishing, it's a successful day.
Yeah, you got paid to talk about fishing. Yeah,
and you know, we'll definitely have you back, and we'll do some more stuff, especially as the season progresses and we get some more experience out there fishing, taking some of your advice, hopefully, you know, helps us be more successful this fishing season.
Yeah, we need your cell phone number. And
send us the link to the brush piles.
No doubt.
Anyways, everybody, thanks for watching. Make sure you leave a like, subscribe, hit the bell for notifications. Check us out on Spotify and Rumble. And we'll catch you guys on the next one.